Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Join us for an hour of life, energy-style conversation as a way of learning aware, whether learning and notching on the current events and trends of spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-327-3206. Oh, I'm sorry, I did it wrong. 646-727-3206. Or
what was that
again, Robin? 646-727-3206. Or go online to our chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started as we introduce our diners for tonight's cafe. Woohoo! Thank you, Miss Kathy. Well, Miss Gloria is not with us tonight. We definitely miss her, but I'm doing my best just to be the Miss Intro Girl and get us all going tonight. So, Miss Kathy, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Kathy Elliott, and I am a bringer of joy, laughter, and fun to you. Eventually, I will be touching all of you. Woohoo!
Oh, my goodness. Okay, watch out for that.
How about Jamie? I bet Jamie could introduce himself.
Hey, Mr. Jamie, would you like to introduce yourself?
How do you? I'm still on the Southern time from last week, so
this is Jamie, a friend, an old young friend
of Robin's from way back when, last century. But I'm a tattoo artist, and I do I have a tattoo shop up here in Seattle. I've been here about 14 and a half years. And I specialize in psychic armor.
Psychic what?
Psychic armor.
Very good.
Psychic armor? Oh, my gosh. That was a new one. Psychic armor. Wow. That should just be something you're advertising out in the mainstream and wherever you can get that on there. Boy, you should put that on the internet. Psychic armor.
Sounds pretty good, though.
Yeah, it sounds really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Psychic armor. I don't know. Some people think like that was like a witchy blue time, but I don't know. But that sounds good.
Well, I'll go with that now since it sounds cool.
Hey, we all need protection.
So, that's right. If anyone is in the Seattle or, you know, that's just that whole upper northwest area and wants to just have a fabulous tattoo, please go see Mr. Jamie Trujillo.
And we're at the Chromeholm Tattoo. Right.
Well,
I've always been interested
tattoo,
in art.
And you can go online to look at Chromeholm Tattoo. And there's actually some fun pictures of Jamie on there having a good time. So there you go. That's all good.
How do you
and
spell that Robin. Online?
It's C-H-R-O-M-E.
O-H-M.
O-M. O-H-M.
O-H-M.
Not,
well, it's more the power amp. Amperage, not the ohm, like a meditative.
I know, you have that H in there.
But we do use the ohm symbol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was ohm when I first saw that.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's cool.
Exactly.
He's got, you know, psychic armor. So, hey, that should be an ohm on there. So that's a go. That's good. Yeah. Anyway, my name is Robin Misevich. I own Flowers for You in Riverside, California, and I have been a nature and shaman pretty much all my life, and I love to help people to connect with flowers. And actually, you can come to my flower shop, or I do workshops where people can come. They create a flower bouquet, and I tell them what it says about them. So it's a very interesting and fun way to learn more things about yourself through the messages of nature. So there you go. There you go. We are just the dynamic trio tonight, and I'm so glad that Mr. Jamie could join us. So that's really wonderful. Again, all kinds of things happening on the planet. Mother Earth is still doing all kinds of her things, and unfortunately humanity is getting a little involved with that as well, with some of the problems we've been having with the Gulf oil spill and things like that. So, Jamie, do you want to just go ahead and just jump on in there and give us an update on what you have you want to go ahead and share?
Well, first of all, it's the 30th anniversary of Mount St. Helens.
Mm-hmm.
A major volcanic activity, probably the largest one in the state of Washington's ever known. And that's the volcano activity, as far as the Iceland volcano, Eyjafjallajökull, is been active this last week. It actually canceled or postponed a bunch of flights out of Europe, specifically England and France, I believe.
Oh.
They're kind of thinking now that this activity may last who knows how long. The last time it did this, it was a couple years. So
yeah.
It also depends on the direction of the air flow, where which way is the ash and dust. But I did read that some airlines are flying in designated areas that they shouldn't be, but they're, I guess through testing, they determine that it's safe for them to do that. So I wouldn't be flying to Europe anytime soon, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't think I would be either.
As far as the Gulf oil spill, I think the latest was BP has successfully put a tube, the pipe that split. They are pumping up oil directly into a tanker. Although when they gave estimates of how much was coming out, they didn't really know, because there's not a meter like showing how much is coming out. Plus, it may be a lot more than they're saying, or maybe they're just saying that. Also, there's a new development in terms of the oil that's actually under the water, not just on the surface. They determined that there's these four or five giant plumes, and they're rather large in depth and width, and they're further down in the depths, that they're concerned that it may catch this Gulf loop, which is a current that, if you notice, the Caribbean, the Gulf of Mexico only comes in and out of Florida and that area. So it's got to come in and come out the same direction or the same area. So there's a current that goes around Florida and then up the East Coast, which they are kind of concerned about, that kind of really heavy oil going that direction. So that's where we're at. They still haven't gave us any estimation that if this is the best they can do. The first time they tried to put a dome, that didn't work. They're going to try a smaller dome. The only other thing would be to drill relief wells, and that's 3 to 6 months. So there isn't really a quick...
The amount of oil that's going to be released from that, yeah.
Right, and they... I know. And now they're trying to have a legislation so that BP or any other offshore people cannot drill, and they want to inspect every place that they are drilling now because of the disaster in the Gulf. So that's where we're at now, and I hate to be the naysayer, but that's kind of it's not going to be a quick fix, and maybe they're just saying they're doing this, but who knows? It's not a win-win situation in any event.
Yeah.
I have a fix. I learned that what we all do collectively is visualize clean, clear water with the marine life and all the animals in the Gulf swimming and playing and having a great time, being very colorful and clean. And if we all visualize that, then we can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because it's that power of really just moving it to a place of, because right now there are a lot, especially with the media, I was watching a little bit of that tonight, and just the level of fear and damage that's being created. And just knowing that too can change, you know, within a short amount of time. It doesn't take that long if we all really focus on just having it be you know, dissolved and healed and healed and happy again.
Yeah, as long as we radiate it, transmute it, we can transform that energy easily. All we have to do is breathe in fear and breathe out joy.
Just putting light all over that ball.
Breathe out joy.
Yeah, just having the light flow through us and have it flow into the Gulf and have it just transform. Transformation Cafe, there we go. It's all good.
Uh-oh, I'm getting hungry.
Oh, there she is. Yeah, I think we were going to have a debate when Jamie gets to be the winner here. He gets to choose which restaurant we go to tonight. Okay.
Okay.
So go ahead, Miss Kathy. You give him your best shot about where you think we should go. Go ahead. Give him the menu.
Gladstone's Malibu. It's a seafood restaurant. Has an oyster bar, burgers and sandwiches, pasta, risotto, and the thing that caught my eye: nice clam chowder, both types, crab cake, halibut. Nice crusted tuna, but this is the thing that caught my eye. It was an iced seafood tower with lobster, oysters, mussel, shrimp, crab legs, and ceviche.
What is ceviche?
It's a Mexican marinated raw fish.
Oh,
it's kind of like salsa with fish.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And my other choice is.
The other choice is the Comfort Food Cafe, and their appetizers tonight are mac and cheese nuggets, garlic onion cheese bread, and the nacho cheese chips and dip. There you go. That's their appetizer. What's their appetizer? You can give them the appetizers, Miss Kathy. Go ahead. What's the appetizer?
Yeah, striped bass, fish and chips, spice crusted tuna. Now this one sounds interesting: baked salmon carcatoke. Saffron potato, roast fennel, olive herb tapenade with the salmon. Oh, here's king crab.
Ooh, I do like the idea of comfort food, but Kathy, that sounds pretty good.
Uh-oh. I think I'm losing out. He just wants to go to Malibu. Yeah.
I've never been there, so maybe I should go.
Malibu is actually very nice. It is a very nice beach area of the beautiful Southern California coast. There you go.
Isn't there always a fire there or something?
No,
yeah,
there's not always
the
a fire there.
Not a glass. No,
barbecue. Yeah, the restaurant always has a fireplace, right? They have a fire. Yes,
right.
They have a fireplace.
But I do have a relative that had to rebuild their house twice from the two separate fires.
But I think it's kind of a small community. Is that correct? It's very upscale?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh.
All those celebrities live there.
And it's very expensive to live there.
The beach is nice, too, right?
Yeah, the beach is beautiful.
Oh, except, I believe that there's not a lot of sand there.
Oh, I don't know. I think it just depends on the area you go to. They usually have a lot of dolphins over there, though. The dolphins like to hang out in Malibu. Yeah, they're looking forward to seeing if they can see a celebrity.
there we go.
Oh, who's making that noise? That's a good dolphin noise.
Thank you. You hear my CLL. Maybe if you're good later on, I'll do my CLL for you. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to the seafood restaurant. Miss Kathy won on that one. Nothing beats a mac and cheese nugget sometimes. Because that's just comfort food for me. But there you go.
That is comfort food.
Yeah, that is really good.
I'm feeling a little exotic
tonight. Robin needs comfort tonight.
Okay, well, yes.
My older one decided to move to Portland, Oregon. So I'm getting a little bit of separation anxiety from the fact my oldest has decided to, leave the nest. So there you go. But that's okay.
But,
I'm really happy for her, and I know she's going to have a really wonderful time up there, and it's another reason for me to go visit Portland, and that's a beautiful place. So that's a great segue, you guys, because actually the next thing I was going to talk about is since my daughter's gone up there, I started looking in the Portland area for just different kinds of activities and things that they have up there. Do you know that they have naked lady parties?
No, pretty awesome.
Do you know what a naked lady party is?
Is it a drink?
It's not X-rated or nothing. It's kind of a neat thing. It actually helps the local community. So what do you think of a naked lady? I can't even say it. Naked lady party. Jamie, what do you think it would be if there's no nudity? Well, there's nudity. There is nudity involved, and there is naked ladies involved, but it's not what you first think.
It's not like the dog is gathering or something, is it? No. I don't know. You got me on that one.
Yeah, I got you on that one.
Like a pug party?
Like a what?
Pug party.
A pug party?
What's a pug party?
Well, that's where everybody that owns the pugs, they all get together and they have a big gathering, and there's all these pugs running around. It's crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just like, you know, when people have the antique cars or the, you know, the older cars and they get together, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. Everybody gets their own little thing. They're like, yeah, I got one of those too. Let's get together. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Okay, tell us what this is.
Okay, naked lady party is women get together and they bring older clothes or just clothes that they have that they don't want to wear. It's like when you buy something and you go, why did I buy that? It just really doesn't look good on me. And they bring this bag of clothes. Everybody brings a bag of clothes of stuff they don't want. They pile them all in the middle of, like, a living room, and then they all start taking off their shirt and stuff and trying on things that they want. If they think they want it, they try it on to see if it fits them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so, you know, everybody switches out clothes that they don't want, and then whatever's left, they donate it to local organizations like, halfway houses for women and for the Salvation Army and stuff like that in their local community.
That's
pretty good, huh? I thought that was very good, yeah.
But that means that they start fighting over the clothes. What happens then?
Yeah, well, they just start, I don't know. It was funny, too, because it was actually on YouTube. You go on YouTube, and it's called, what did they call it? You know, does Portland really have weird people or something like that? Because I was looking through some of the YouTubes tonight before I got online about the Portland area. And that's actually, there's a younger girl that has been doing a whole bunch of, themed YouTubes. And that's actually what she goes. She goes, a lot of people think that people in Portland are weird. But you know what was really cool? She covered all these different restaurants and things like that. Because they have the Voodoo Donut.
What is the Voodoo Donut?
The Voodoo Donut is it's a donut shop, but they make all kinds of donuts.
With and unusual toppings and ingredients.
They're kind of unusual toppings and sometimes unusual shapes.
Shapes, right.
Shapes that you could actually take to a naked lady party and they go, oh, wow, that's fun.
You have like a bacon donut or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. They call it the mystical hole whenever they have a donut that is that's got that opening in the middle. They call it the mystic hole. There you go. for the voodoo donut shop. So it's a fun name. I was like, God, that's a fun name. You know, sounds like a
that
good
is. Name. It's been on the entertainment channel or some food channel. They always visit there because it's kind of hip.
Because it was cool in that YouTube, because all these really unusual restaurants that they had, or just different stores and stuff, they all contribute to their local community. They feed the homeless, or they donate and things like that, where they create spaces where people can basically come and have a place where they can have either shelter, or they provide food and things like that for people who are in a place of need. So it was very, very cool.
Oh,
it was very,
cool.
very cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Because she says, you know, so are people in Portland weird? Because actually, Portland is one of has the highest levels of entrepreneurial small businesses in the United States.
It's also one of the more wired cities, I believe, too.
Yeah, I think
What do you
so.
Mean wired? What does that mean?
Wi-Fi wired and probably on coffee,
too. Oh, okay. And it has the most microbreweries of the United States as well.
All right, it's a very
so I you know I didn't think my daughter was really into beer that much, but I guess she she's moving up
well,
to beer, so I may have to go check that out. You know,
I will tell you from being up here, there is kind of a Seattle Portland kind of like they compare each other sometimes, but it's not the same. Yeah,
no,
there's
yeah.
more water
yeah.
and bridges in Portland, and my buddy was telling me everybody's more friendlier there. It's hard to believe.
Really?
More friendly?
I've only visited once, so I don't really, I haven't lived there. I know that's kind of a hip place.
Yeah, and they have the largest,
Portland is
the largest swap meet, the largest, longest swap meet. It's like the longest running and largest swap meet in the United States.
Wow.
Oh, boy, you got your trivia down tonight.
I do, don't I? I'm just, you know, it's what happens. It's what happens when a kid believes in you, you got to find out about where they're living. So there you go. Between the naked lady parties and the voodoo donuts, we know our way around Portland, Oregon now. So life is good.
Wow.
Good. So I have an update.
Gloria joined us.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm so glad you came. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So have you guys already had your appetizers?
Well, we since you weren't on yet, we basically had two different options. I was going to do the Comfort Food Cafe, and Miss Kathy was going to be doing a seafood restaurant in Maui. Malibu. And Malibu won.
We have a split screen going on.
No, we just basically, I was looking for comfort food. She was looking for seafood. So Miss Kathy, what are our appetizers tonight?
Let's see. Oh, the tower. We want the tower.
The tower.
Let's give it a shot.
Tell Gloria what the tower is so we remind her so she knows.
Ice seafood tower, lobster, oysters, mussels, shrimp, crab legs, and ceviche.
Sounds good.
Doesn't it come with crackers or something?
Oh, I don't know. I've got to digest that one.
Good one.
Lemon wedges and some toasted French bread. How about that?
Ooh, that'd be perfect.
Good to go along with that. Yeah. I think we're gonna have to be going with that. So I don't think I did such a good job on the intro because you're just the magnificent intro girl that we have. So Miss Gloria. So there you go. Robin did her best, and
I'm sure you
Gabby
did
had to correct me.
Well.
I had to do the phone number twice.
Fine.
But there you go. It's okay.
Here.
So it's all good. So I have, there we go. I have a spam jam update.
Oh.
Remember about 3 weeks ago, we were finding out, I had gotten totally bummed because Honolulu was having their spam jam event.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I found out from the spam jam people that they actually take spam cans. And you know how, like in Lego, they like build different stuff out of the Legos and have these magnificent, you know, like, the Statue of Liberty or, cities and all those kinds of stuff. So they have their own contest where people build things out of spam cans.
They build things out of spam?
No, not the spam itself, the cans.
Oh, the can of spam.
The cans are from the spam. So I'm just wondering, who's eating all this spam? That's what I want to know.
It's very popular there.
I know, it's very popular.
It's the mainstay.
Yeah, I know. So
there you go. What they didn't tell you is that they took in all of the used spam cans from spam just for the additional promotion for the village.
There you have it.
Okay. Hey, Gloria, have you ever heard of a naked lady party?
I have.
You have? Really? And that's where everybody comes together and shares their clothes? It's a sharing your clothes party? Right.
It's a different kind of naked lady party than I've heard of.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And actually, I think I can identify with Gloria's.
Okay, well, I wasn't talking about that. I was trying to keep it like a PG-rated radio show here, so you know how that goes.
I didn't say anything.
Anyway.
I just said it's different. I just said it's different
trying
than
anyway.
The one they heard of.
Yeah, exactly. Have you guys heard of Hulu.com?
Yes.
Hulu.com. Go ahead, Gloria. Tell them what it is.
Oh, it's addictive.
It's addictive. Okay, it's addictive. But what is it?
Well, it's an online version of television in that you can get some of the latest shows. You can get some access to movies, new and old. They have a runtime on some where they may have it contracted with the various channels or stations where they can get a hold of the shows for a period of time. Some of the classics that they have are available indefinitely. And it's interesting because some of the old shows like I Dream a Genie or Bewitched there's one that I hadn't even heard of called I Spy.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, yeah, and I hadn't even heard of it, let alone seen it. And so there are a bunch on there that are back in the day, and I was surprised because there was one that was on that they actually took off, and I was kind of surprised that it would disappear, but it did. And so there's also a lot of Japanese anime. They've got several different channels. It's a wide variety of selection, everything from reality TV to
movies. You can do full interviews on there, too.
Right. So it's great because you can work on the computer and have it running at the same time.
I'm actually considering hooking up my other monitor so I can stick it on the other monitor and have a full screen to work on.
That's great. So my son,
well, they had one of the Yahoos. You know how Yahoo has those little things once in a while? And it was five things that, you know, you should never do kind of thing. And one of them was to do the cable TV, because you can basically just do this Hulu and you have free TV.
And that's one of the my son discovered Drew Carey. And so he went there and he got Drew Carey, and then playing it through his PlayStation on his 52-inch TV, it just looked like he was watching our regular DirecTV.
Exactly.
Our regular cable.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a movie or if you enjoy watching certain shows on TV, check over at Hulu and see if they have it for you.
There are commercials. They do have commercials, and they also have the ability to subscribe to it. I don't subscribe, so that could be why I get commercials.
Well, it used to be for free, and then there was a thing about royalties or such, and they had to start charging for it.
Well, I don't pay for it. I still get it free, but I watch commercials. And the thing with the shows is that I don't mind the commercials, because I can, if I have to go run an errand while the commercial is happening in another part of the house, I can go ahead and do that, come back, and then just bring it back. You can move anywhere in the movie to see whatever you've left, and there's times where I get interrupted and I don't have time to watch an entire show, or I get bored with it, or just don't want to watch it anymore. I can turn it off, no tape of time, and then when I turn it back on, I can fast forward to that place.
Isn't that nice? That's so nice.
It's very nice,
cool.
And I don't mind. I don't mind the commercials being on there just because of the convenience of being able to do that.
Yeah. So for any of our other diners out there, if you guys haven't checked it out, it's quite the little nice option. Instead of having TiVo and all this other kinds of stuff, just do the Hulu. There you go. Hulu.com.
Okay, there you go. But with TiVo, don't you have that recorded on a secondary machine?
No, the ones they do nowadays with like DirecTV and stuff like that, it's a part of the system.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think both of them are like that, whether it's DirecTV or what's the other one? AT&T. They both have it where it's something that's a part of the regular just system you can have.
Well, I came in, I wanted to add to your comments about Portland. Portland is one of the bestest places in the entire United States. And
wow.
Just there's something about it in particular that you make it say it's the best.
On that same note, though, I encourage no one to move there.
I agree.
Well, you know,
I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Bought that feature.
Well, I had visited there maybe five or 6 years ago, and it is very beautiful. It's a great place to have a vacation. It really is. It's a really great place.
Really great place. I used to live up in the northwest section near the zoo.
We'll be doing a show in Portland, Oregon, probably in August. Just so you guys know, it'll probably be a show. I'll be up in Portland to do a show. It's probably true. So there you go.
If it lasts till August.
Oh, okay. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Last till August.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Have a little faith now.
No, I don't mean on the show. I mean without Melissa.
She's just saying you may be doing it sooner.
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying. Okay. So I was revisiting TED.com this week, and there were a couple different things that I came across that I wanted to share with you guys and kind of put an effort out for our diners to talk about. One was very interesting. It was called Language Mania, and it was all about how China – it's by law, they start in the third grade and they teach everyone to speak English.
Definitely.
And they say 2 billion people around the world that are outside of America are learning English. 2 billion people. Yeah.
The second language is Spanish, based upon the Latin background,
Yeah. And they were saying that, let's see, let me look at my notes real quick. But they were saying that the reason why, and a part of it's the fact that it's, you know, basically the primary language for the Internet. So it's giving everyone opportunities to basically have a global conversation, have a global common language through English. And it gives everyone the opportunity to be able to troubleshoot a lot of the problems that we're having and making it more of a universal language, just like math and music is.
So the question is, are they speaking English or are they speaking American?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
They were showing a part of the presentation. They were showing, like, stadiums of people, and there'd be somebody up there going, you know, I talk, you know, perfect English, and then the whole, you know, this whole field of people, this whole stadium of people said, I speak perfect English, you know. I honor my parents, I honor my country, I honor my country, I honor myself. It was quite something to see this sea of people speaking English like that. It's just part of the gatherings where they do that. They practice their English.
Well, and then that would leave no room for anybody to be embarrassed if they didn't say it right because they've got everyone else to copy off of.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But, you know, it's like with that.
It's like that dance routine where you're surrounded by people on stage and everybody is doing the same thing, and no matter where you look, you find somebody you can copy off of till you get it right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just kind of exciting. It was surprising to me, but yet when I really think about it and think of the Internet and all the opportunities of, you know, how we're moving forward with technology, it makes perfect sense that people would be wanting to learn English and have it be just like technical languages of being able to know computer lingo, you know, for, you know, I'm getting downloaded and just all the different terms we use nowadays is just a part of our slang, you know, for just language. You know, it used to be the geek, and now, you know, it's just a part of, you know, language for people to understand what you're doing and how you're doing it.
I'm thinking Chinese would be pretty hard to learn.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
Unless you were, like, a young adult or a child or something that could maybe absorb that a little quicker or be around it.
Rosetta Stone. But we'll do a commercial for Rosetta Stone.
I used to work for a company that was Japanese, and I had taken Japanese, and all of the Japanese that I worked with first were taking Chinese, and then they were also taking Spanish.
Wow.
Chinese and Spanish. Well, you know, they say that there's just like two or three languages that are like the root of so many other things, and that, you know, once you kind of learn one, it's easy to learn the other ones because they're not that different from one another.
Well, the way that they explained it to me when I asked, because he said that the reason that Spanish was easier for them is because it was a similar sentence structure.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
The nouns and the verbs and the adjectives and just the whole structure of the language and how they communicate.
The noun comes after, and then the noun comes after the stuff, huh? After
what? Well, within the Japanese, you don't always say the noun. It's kind of an understanding. Good, and then also you sometimes put it at the end.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so it's more the sentence structure as opposed to the sounds.
That's what they explained to me at the time, yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. Japanese to me sounds more like, I just lost the tribe, but some of the Dakota tribes, the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds some of the Indian tribes' languages. Mm-hmm. I don't mean any disrespect there.
There's a certain structure of the language where that makes sense because, I mean, they have to have a root from somewhere. So depending on who traveled where, you know, the language could be influenced. So.
Right.
So there you go. Okay. So I thought of that. And then the other one I had was called 5 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kids Do.
Oh, I want to hear about that. I'm curious.
Go play in the street. My mother used to
tell me this one all the time. Go play in the street. Well, this guy's name is Gebertelli, and he actually He has a school called the Tinkering School, and he takes second grade kids, and he basically, these are kids who want to invent things, who want to create things, and he has this workshop where the kids go and learn how to use power tools and all kinds of stuff and build things that they're thinking they want to create. It's like a summer program that he does. That's really, really cool. And he's actually writing a book, and actually these are 5 out of 50 because he's actually got a book called 50 Dangerous Things that he's going to be having out there. So the pieces, the first one that he thinks is the most powerful is playing with fire.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And playing with fire, yeah. He says it's so powerful for a kid because you're playing with something that's a controlled element of nature. And
right.
It's like central to the levels of things being mysterious, because think how mysterious fire is. I mean, it has its own power in the way that it moves and changes and all that kinds of stuff.
I remember as a kid sitting and playing with the candle on the table and messing with the wax and seeing if you could melt the wax with the fire. It was just so hypnotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was.
You were a pyro even way back when, huh?
Oh, yeah, and I passed that on to my son.
And I remember as a mother walking in the bathroom, seeing a candle in the sink and matches and toilet paper and all that several times. And then I saw on the concrete pad behind the garage, I saw burnt newspaper. And so I decided that for my 13-year-old's birthday, I'd just buy him his own fire pit.
Uh-huh.
All I asked was that he contained his fires in the fire pit. You know what?
Right.
I never saw fire again.
Yep.
He took the taboo away from it.
Well, and then the other thing that you need to teach them is to take that whipped cream in a can, the high pressure, you know, take it up and put your head back and just go and fill up the mouth.
For Thanksgiving or whatever, we'd have whipped cream for like pies and stuff like that. So I'd bring it into the house, and when the kids were little, you know, they'd know I'd have whipped cream. I'd go chasing around the house, and I'd shake it up and like squirt it into their mouth. They thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever seen.
So we kind of had
a little fun with whipped cream. Yeah, actually, it was pretty fun. So what about you, Jamie? Did you play with fire when you were little?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I was always known for, we used to have a fireplace, and I was the fire starter. Oh, boy, I'd make fun out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I think you're doing a lot of pyro stuff going on. Okay.
I almost burned the house down once, but that's another story.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You know, it's really interesting, because when you pass it on to your kids, my son's in college now. And he was at a bonfire that the track team was having recently. So he brought wood, and he was, you know, waiting. He showed up, and there were a lot of people that were already there that had wood. And he's like, so who's going to start the fire? And they said, oh, we're waiting for the starter log.
Ooh.
I know. And I just looked at him.
Ha, 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 ha. They sound like me.
Was it a couple rolls of newspaper
mail rolled up?
Yeah.
I looked at him and my mouth dropped, and I said, I'm assuming you did not wait for the log. And he said, no, he goes, I found a paper bag and some kindling. He said, I started it. And then when the girl showed up that had the starter log, he said, she looks kind of disappointed. He said, I think she went out of her way to get it. I consider that to be the uneducated intelligence.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what
he educated.
In writing this book, that's what he was saying. He says there's so many child safety regulations now. The kids are actually getting more hurt because they're not learning by little nicks and cuts and bruises. They're just not learning at all. Yeah,
right.
And there needs to be a place of supervised play with this kinds of stuff and just kind of showing them, you know, on a level like that was perfect what Kathy said. I wouldn't got him a fire pit. And so,
what was his name again?
Keep it in the pit.
The author?
His name is Kever, and it's G-E-V-E-R Tully. Kever Tully.
I'm sorry, what is his name?
Kever?
Like T as in tango?
No, G. Like Gever. Maybe it's Gever Tully. Gever Tully?
Oh, is that like
Never
name.
With a G. Never with a G. It's like Gever.
That's
Gever
last,
Tully.
That's his
Tully,
last name?
Tully. Tully is his last name.
Oh, it is divided.
Yeah, it's Gever Holly. Yeah, yeah. So the second thing he says that you should let your kids have and play with is a pocket knife.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because he said that, you know, the versatility and just gives them a sense of empower and being empowered, because they can basically be able to manipulate that and make it like, you know, whether it's a spatula, a screwdriver, or a blade or whatever. It's just an empowering tool that they can see that they can be an extension of themselves and things that they need to be able to fix or change or whatever.
Right.
That's an important thing. And he said... Yeah, you said kids are—they're really kind of losing that. Not everybody, you know, boys used to always have switch, you know, like.
Well,
you know,
just don't take it to school.
Knife.
That's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, don't take it to school. That's right. Did you have a pocket knife, Jamie?
Yes, several.
Several.
And I have quite a few right now.
There we go.
The thing that really concerns me is that a lot of the kids in the cities have no concept about survival, or in addition to being able to use these things as tools.
Uh-huh.
So things like the respect, you know, when you have a tool and you understand its use and you respect it and keep it clean and keep it well conditioned, you know, it's a tool for life. And so whether it be a knife or a fishing rod or a handgun, and I know that can cause a lot of angst, but when you teach children to respect something and you're responsible handling, you know, they have more respect and they pay attention to it more.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're less likely to go out and hurt someone if they know more about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things he was amazed, because he can remember when he was 10 years old, he saw a short film, and it was about Eskimo children. They were like 3 or 4 years old, and they had regular full, like, you know, fish knives, and they were eating blubber.
Yeah.
And these kids knew that it was just one of their tools,
right?
So they didn't hurt themselves. It was just like having a knife and fork. It wasn't a matter of like this is
right,
you know, dangerous for me. It's one of my tools to survive. Yeah. So that was one of the reasons he had that in there. So yeah. So very, very cool. The third one is learning how to throw a spear.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, and he says the reason for that is that our brains are wired to throw things. Because it's the connection between attention and concentration of, like, having something in our hand and having the structured understanding of, like, I throw this and this is where it goes. So there's a sense of, you know, the accuracy with the mind, with your, you know, your vision and the brain and having everything connect on it. It actually develops your brain better and faster when you do things like that. Because that's why sports are so important. Because it's connecting a lot of different parts of your motor skills and everything together.
Your hand-eye coordination, huh?
Right, your hand-eye and all that kinds of stuff. And then, you know, think of the weight of a spear as opposed to other things. And then having accuracy when you're trying to actually take it and put it into a target. It's pretty involved.
And it goes beyond the hand-eye because you have a brain-synaptic connection that's also essential to be connected. So the hand-eye is the physical aspect, but when you connect it in with the brain physiology, it gives you spatial dimension. And it gives your brain the ability to have perspective and to judge distances.
Yeah, he said it actually, you know, it, like you're saying, it's the frontal visual area of the brain and then also structural understanding. Yeah. So there's a lot to it. You think, oh, throwing a spear or whatever. But no, there's really a lot to it. How many kids would actually throw a spear? Not too many. But, I mean, if you made it like a regular... Well, and I think of the javelin. Think of the javelin.
Well, the javelin, yeah.
And track, and something like that. Yeah.
Depends on the track.
You know.
If they were, you used
to
pretend with the spearfishing.
Spearfishing? Gosh, can you imagine
yeah, we
still take to be a spearfishing?
We used to go to the local creeks and aim with our sticks for the fish in the water.
There you go.
Yeah. See, same thing. You put a sharp stone on the back, on the end of that sucker. There you go. You get yourself a spear. It's good. Well, it's just a primal thing too, and I think how that really connects us to our primal level of ourselves for survival and connection and things like that. So, the fourth one is taking appliances apart that are broken, so you can see the way that parts of things are interconnected.
You stop it at my house, but and I didn't have.
You don't necessarily
have
to put
the fire washer,
but to take it apart. Yeah,
right. And it was uncanny. All of the battery lids, the tops that you put batteries in, all the radios and the boom boxes and the remote controls, none of them have battery tops on them.
Wow.
You know, the little plastic lid that holds the battery in.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And all the pens were in pieces,
uh-huh,
laying around. He just had a fascination with the little spring and the ink and all that, but he never put them back. So they were,
mm-hmm,
always in pieces. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, mm-hmm, everything stayed together once Robbie moved out. And then when he comes home for summer, oops, there's those pens laying around again.
Things are getting taken apart. There you go.
They're getting taken apart.
Really, it's the having the knowledgeability of knowing.
Yeah.
I thought that was really
curious.
Great. The way you put that, I was like, wow, knowledgeability of knowing. It's like, I know how that's put together, so it helps me to problem solve for other things.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh,
seeing something mechanically, how it would be put together, I can take that organically and make it into problem solving for other parts of whether it's with a team or, you know, whatever. I can look at different,
uh-huh,
things. And just through association with, like, three or four different appliances and seeing how they're being put together, you can have it with this other stuff, too. So it's very, very cool.
So
number five
is a two. Uh-huh. My nephew would take them apart, too, and he'd put them back,
mm-hmm,
together, but there'd always be pieces left on the table.
But did,
mm-hmm,
it still work?
Yeah.
Well, he was just more efficient. He was more efficient than the engineers who originally designed it.
I think they even have a show on right now where there's a guy who cuts things apart to see how it works.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
But they're more like really heavy-duty things, you know, like you have to really cut them apart.
Yeah, we're talking major, like, you know,
yeah,
you can tell he really enjoys the sawing apart.
So
you
have to cut
them in
half.
I have a show where I can use my major power tools to just, like, you know, those, like, jaws of life where they go, meow, you know,
mm-hmm,
cutting a car in half or whatever. That's what he's got. Yeah, he can like anything. He actually did a show that I see. Dan, wonder if Jamie saw the same one. He took like a bulletproof car that they use for like security,
mm-hmm,
and it had like the steel inside and all that kind of stuff. And he was showing the glass, the bulletproof,
mm-hmm,
glass that they have on the windshield, and the way that because it was cool. He broke it into like a science and showed how there was these plastic fibers. They were embedded in the glass, and so when it got hit by the bullet, they would basically grab the bullet. So it was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing technology that they figured out how to do that. Yeah, yeah. So just stuff like that. So, you know. But again, it definitely looks like he just wants to be able to, you know, saw something in half because he can. So there you go.
That's what he likes.
So, yeah, exactly. So number five is in two parts. The first part is in breaking copyright laws. And he used the example of you go online and you buy something, say, off of iTunes. You download it to your computer, and then you go ahead and burn a CD. As soon as you burn that CD, you're breaking a copyright law.
Right. That's true.
So a part of that lesson was in the fact that you really need to look at law and look at the way that it's put together and that people innocently break the law all the time. And but, you know,
uh-huh,
what's the level of law and how can I be crossing that line and knowing the responsibility of that?
Right. Okay.
So that was one of them.
Right.
And then the second part of number five was letting a younger child drive a car.
Yeah, under certain circumstances.
You come out to some private property with like a bunch of land and you just sit in the front seat and you let them steer the car and you do just run the brakes and just let this kid drive all over the place. Oh, you like as soon as he can sit in your lap and turn the steering wheel and know what he's doing. So maybe about
that's
seven.
That's what we used to do as kids when we were growing up. My dad would do that with us.
Yeah, because he says it's like you learn that something a lot larger than you in your life, you can manipulate it to having it do what you want it to do, and it empowers you as a person because you feel like there's more things you can handle in your life. So it's a very empowering thing to be able to drive a car.
Huh, that's good.
That's pretty
good.
Cool.
And
mm-hmm,
just knowing that you're capable. Now, see, when I was young, my mom said, I would rather buy material and buy better material if you made all your clothes rather than buy cheap clothes.
There you go.
And so I made all my clothes. And what the lesson I got from that was that I was quite capable of doing anything.
There you go. There you go.
I thought it was a very strong lesson.
And mm-hmm. I figured out that Barbie didn't care what she wore.
However, Barbie doesn't care what she wears?
So, yeah, so what did she wear? What did your Barbie wear?
She still gets Ken, so it doesn't matter. Although she doesn't get Ken anymore. She's got that new Australian guy. I don't know what his name is. But she broke up with Ken.
Yeah, there's no more Ken anymore.
No, Ken. Oh, Ken's out.
No, Barbie broke up with him like 4 or 5 months. It was like she broke up with him on a Valentine's Day. Come on.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Is that like terrible or what? I mean, the worst day of the year to break up with Ken. Come on. Can you believe
Valentine's
it?
Valentine's Day.
That cold-hearted
no.
Oh,
I tell you.
What about Skipper?
Skipper probably is dating Ken now.
Yeah, what about Skipper?
I want to go to the younger model.
Mid?
I know, we don't hear about Skipper anymore, do we? I know. We
Isn't
need
there
to
a mid,
it's like those, yeah, it's like those shows, what, you know, where are they now? Where's Skipper now?
I think there's a Ken in Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a Ken. Is it Ken or is it somebody else?
It might be one of the crew there. Who knows?
That's true, though. There, you know, he does show up in thank you, Mr. Jamie. He does show up in Toy Story 3. And that comes out pretty quick. When is Toy Story coming out? Do you guys know? That would be an interesting thing to find out. A Toy Story coming out. And, you know, I had gone up to San Francisco for some facilitating training this weekend, and it was so powerful. They had a poster of, like, say, Woody with a 3 or, you know, one of the major characters. Nothing.
Right.
There was no copy besides just
the
number.
It's a big 3.
That's it. It's like, wow. Talk about the power of an image. You know,
yeah.
It was just like amazing. Yeah. And, you know, we were working with our, you know, symbology and things like that. So it was very interesting to kind of see it from that. So that was an interesting thing to see how things are put together for everything.
So, Robin, I know that we were talking about appetizers, but I think we've already passed our main course.
Yeah, we totally need to come
out. It's time for dessert.
Well, our main course tonight was those five things the kids should just do kind of thing. Ooh,
and they were good.
I think going on there. Yeah, they were very good. So, Miss Kathy, what's our dessert tonight?
You know, I'm looking. I only see salads.
Mm.
What? No dessert?
I don't have dessert. Well, I've got desserts. I've got some desserts at the comfort.
Let's go.
Oh, okay. What kind of dessert?
Apple pie.
Okay.
No. Mm. Yeah. It's kind of like that. So we have. I'm getting my taste here with my name.
Drum roll.
We have bread pudding once again this week, but it was with the lemon sauce, not the whiskey. Okay. We have fruit cobbler back, the nectarini, or we can go ahead
of
and
course.
Do a strawberry shortcake or the fruit cobbler nectarini. We have assorted cookies. Those big, wonderful cookies.
And of course,
they're
Hawaiian. They have macadamia nuts.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Oh, we have the ever-popular healthy carrot cake. It's funny how people say, oh, carrot cake, that's so healthy. It's like one of the highest calories you can possibly have.
I believe that.
No, really.
I think I'd rather eat a carrot.
Yeah. So there you go. So I'm looking real quick on movies here to see when the Toy Story is going to come out here. I think it's like the end of May.
While you're looking, I'm
yes.
I have a jingle.
Okay, here we go.
Let's do a jingle. Here we go.
When I'm connected, I'm awesome, super special and pure, fabulous, terrific, and so much more. I bring joy straight to your door.
That's all right. All those kids
awesome,
in that
terrific.
School doing those
awesome,
five
terrific.
Things.
Very good.
That's so cool. I know, huh? Let's see. I'm going to put Toy Story in here. It's not up here. It must not be for a little while. Huh. I guess not. Oh, there you go. So our quote for the night, our after-dinner mint. So what are we going to do for dessert, you guys? Because we really don't want to do the dinner mint until we decide what we want to have for dessert. You know, come on.
Let's have some Neapolitan ice cream.
Oh, Neapolitan, he's going off the board.
Now, did you guys totally miss the fresh pineapple with the marshmallow dipping sauce? Marshmallow cream dipping sauce?
Yeah, we
That's
did.
That's what
totally,
I want.
We totally tried that.
That
sounds good.
Okay. We're totally going off the board. Okay. And I think some shortbread cookies with that would be pretty darn good. So there you go.
Lorna Doone.
Very, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those babies. Have a little bit of that with there. So there you go. Very good. So, okay, cool. So the after dinner tonight is from Dr. Seuss. And he said, "I like nonsense. It wakes up the brain cells."
There we go. I like nonsense.
Yeah. And, you know, nonsense means you're learning. When you're confused or you're not feeling totally confident in what you've got coming through, that means you're learning. And that's a cool thing.
Uh-huh.
One of the things we did this weekend for facilitating is we did a bunch of improv exercises. And, oh, my gosh, they were so much fun. We had one where we couldn't talk to one another. We'd, like, go up and come up in pairs. And then we were given different kinds of things. Like, one had to be a fork and a knife. And we couldn't tell each other who to be what. One of us would just take the position of one or the other. And it was really interesting. It's the process of doing things and not doing it on a verbal level. It was very, very cool. So there you go. That's very, very cool.
Wow.
So get a chance to do any kind of improv. And improv is really great because it just keeps you really connected to the moment. Keeps you to the moment, and it really keeps you to a level of being in more of your intuition and intuitiveness. So it's really cool. I was really liking that. And it was fun, and we felt like we were playing with each other. So it was fun. Like, I'm going to pretend. Let's pretend. Let's have some imagination. You know what Einstein said about that? He's like, you know, the most powerful thing that we can do is use our imaginations. And that goes back to our conversation we said at the beginning where we're all kind of saying, gee, what can we do about helping with the golf? And we were all sharing about, you know, we just see it clean and all the fish are back and life is wonderful and it's all good.
Uh-huh. Hey, aren't we improvising? So, we're improvising, right?
Well, we are totally improvising. This is totally an improv show. Are you kidding? Come on. That's it. So Toy Story 3 starts on June 18th.
Oh, it starts on
June 18th. So we got about a month. Yeah, we got about a month of advertising before we see that kind of thing. There we go. So how many more minutes have we got, Miss Kathy?
We have two.
Okay. The next few shows, we're hoping to have a few guests on, and we're going to be talking about conscious money. Conscious, like working with our changing our belief about money beliefs, so whether it's poverty consciousness or just ways that we can expand ourselves in a way that we're looking at, you know, money as energy and having that come to a new level of different stuff. So anything you guys want to add to the show that we've been talking about or just want to bring something up real quick?
Well, I'm thankful.
Yeah, let's
we're
that
here.
Well, when you
thankful
say real
for
quick,
really
that
good
just kind
week,
of. When you say like
you get 2 seconds, yeah.
Everything.
No, we got over a minute. We got over like a minute and a half. We could totally do.
Oh,
this.
I have something. I am so grateful to all of you to play with on Tuesday nights.
I am too. I will triple that.
And we're having some fun now, aren't we?
Fun,
yeah.
Fun, 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 fun. We're having fun, fun,
fun, fun. Oh, that means the jingle's coming.
We're having fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
There's
fun,
a little.
Fun,
there
we're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun. Okay, there we go. Little backup for my daughter. That was my daughter, Katie Misevich, and she did a whole bunch of stuff. And you know what? The jingles have now been exported to Portland. They're
yay
in Portland, Oregon now. Yeah. My older daughter took
a
copy, and she's going to be spreading the jingles in Portland. How wonderful is that?
That is. Woohoo!
Yeah. Woohoo!
We're going to get infused with fun and love and joy.
Mm-hmm.
So the more they're heard, the more love and fun and joy is radiated and spread throughout the world.
Right. And I love what Gloria is always saying about, you know, the power of our minds, the power of our thoughts. and how they really, we, you know, we are, you know, empowering and powerful beings. We just really need to remember
right.
that.
We are.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
I know. I
glory of
like...
that.
Well, take care, everybody.
Okay. Thank you so much, you guys, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
And again, we're going to have some guests on the show, and it's going to be lots of fun. So thanks for joining us.
Bye.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively, unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it so special, and we're always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by checking out our website, transformation-cafe.com, where all our previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we'll see you next time here on Transformation Cafe. Good night.